Amen. Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 7, if you would, this morning. The first book in the New Testament of your scripture, Matthew and chapter number 7. And thank you for being in attendance today. What a wonderful day to be in church. It's always a great time to be in church, and certainly on the Lord's Day. And we are grateful that you have chosen to gather with us to worship the Lord together. And what a privilege it is to preach, and I certainly am thankful for the opportunity. How my family and I love serving the Lord here with the team, our pastor and the team that God has assembled, and with this great church family as well. Matthew chapter number 7, and let's look together in our reading at verse number 24. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." A few years ago, I had the privilege of preaching a week of teen camp down in the state of New Mexico. And it was the way the calendar laid out that particular summer. It was going to be right after our family vacation. I was going to get back from that and then basically the next day take off and go do this week of teen camp there in New Mexico. And I love camp. I had the privilege of going to camp all my growing up years. I was had the privilege of accepting Christ as my Savior as a result of camp and the preaching there. And God did some wonderful things in my heart in those multiple years on a mountaintop. And so I love the ministry of camp and was looking forward to being a part of this particular week. And having just come from vacation, it was a week of preaching camp and trying to get caught up on work and so on. And God blessed, and we had a great week of good services and sensitive hearts and good decisions. And at the end, we had a Friday morning service, and we challenged all of the young people with how to take camp home and how to perpetuate in their life from that moment forward what God had begun and sowed seeds in their hearts on the mountaintop. After that service, God bless, the pastor and I jumped in the car and we made our way to the airport. Got in the airport there and got through security and waited in line and then got on the plane. And I was excited because I was heading home. And the best part of any trip was going home. And I was going to get to go home and see my wife and our kids. And I was looking forward to that and excited about that. And we got on the plane and we got going. And I got my computer out to my work and was trying to make that trip as profitable as I could and getting caught up from the time away from the office. And we made the flight and we were making our descension. And the captain came on and notified everybody that we had reached 10,000 feet and it was time to shut down your electronics and to prepare for the landing. And so I turned my computer off and began to pack it up and the things I was working on and so on. And we were just about to land the plane at this time. And I was sitting there in my seat on that Southwest Airlines flight and the seats right in front of me and the little pocket there in the seat. And I saw some reading materials and they had some magazines and such. And on most flights, they have this magazine called the SkyMall magazine. Now, the SkyMall magazine is where you advertise to sell stuff you couldn't sell anyplace else. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in this SkyMall magazine. It's full of some very interesting things that you could get for yourself or for your home. And I was flipping through that and amused by some of the advertisements. And I got to the gardening section and they were advertising some things that you could buy for your garden or your lawn or your yard or outdoor patio or something of this nature. And I came across an advertisement for a tool and it was called the Lean Lever Gardening Tool. And we have a picture of it here for you. Now, something that I am very familiar with is a shovel. How many here by raise of hand have ever operated one of these, all right? I never have found the on-off switch on one of these, but I have operated it a good number of times. The summer between my 6th and 7th grade year, my dad had worked it out with a business owner in our church, and I went to work for Willard Fence Company. My dad wasn't in tune with the local labor laws for kids, and he just believed in slave labor. So I went to work for that company, and it was kind of under the arrangement of working really hard, and if you want to pay him, great. If not, that's okay. And so that summer, I went to work for that fence company, and we would go to job sites, and we might be removing an old fence, or we might just be putting in one where there was none, and we would prepare the line, and then you would go through and you would mark your spots, typically every 10 feet where you would need to put a post, and then a hole needed to be dug. That was my job. And it wasn't with a shovel just like this. They're actually called a post hole digger, and it's two smaller shovels that are closer together and attached, and you drive them into the ground, and you clasp the dirt, and you take it out of the hole, and I have done that thousands and thousands of times, I promise you. But that's what we would do. And so I was reading this advertisement about this lean lever gardening tool, and it was claiming that if you would buy this apparatus and you would attach it to your shovel when trying to dig dirt, that it would alleviate all stress in your back, that it would give you the capacity to lift so much more, that with its capability to swivel, that it would help flawlessly to get the dirt from the ground into your wheelbarrow or bucket. And it was giving this elaborate description of what this lean lever gardening tool would do for you if you'd buy it when you tried to dig your next hole or whatever. And I was reading that and I was thinking, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. There's no way that would work. I mean, it wouldn't be worth the trouble to get it out and to hook it all up, and then the dirt would fall, or it would be, you know, just more trouble than it's worth. There's no way that would really help you in digging. And then I thought, only in America could you sell an item like that. Convincing people that, you know, you could dig a hole without having to exert any energy or invest any effort. If you just buy this tool and hook it up, it'll just take all the pain and all the work out of digging a hole. And I thought, that's never going to work. And it's crazy that people would buy something like the lean lever gardening tool. And then I thought, but you know what? That's what often happens in the Christian life. God has a way that things should be done. But Satan has some alternatives. And he will tempt, he will advertise, he will make sure you and I know that there are alternatives to God's way. And sometimes in life, when we might be trying to follow the instruction of the Lord, Satan will come along with a gadget like the lean lever gardening tool. And he will begin to tell you and I that if we would just try this method, if we would explore this alternative, if we would give some time to consider this way, that indeed we would find it's much easier, it's much better. It just makes life so much better in every area if we would try this. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here in Matthew chapter number 7. The Lord has just given what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, and much truth is being given. Doctrine is being taught, and the people are being challenged and instructed and directed. And it's an amazing time, one that it would be incredible to be there tangibly and to hear. That is what has just happened as we read the verses we've just read. And what you and I just read was the Lord's closing illustration. This was him drawing the net to his teaching and now challenging the listeners. What are you going to do with what you just heard? Are you going to listen? Are you going to apply? Are you going to build like the wise man? Are you going to get down to the rock and follow this instruction? Or will you hear everything that's just been taught and then decide that there's a better way to do it and build like the foolish man? Here the Lord gives this conclusion and paints this story of this illustration of these two builders as two ways to respond to the teaching that he has just given. And I submit to you this morning that every time you and I hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, we too have a decision to make. How will we respond? We've heard truth. How will we respond? We've heard truth. How will we apply and implement that to our lives? And that's what the Lord is calling into question in their hearts and minds here in this passage. You've heard my teaching. Now what are you going to do with it? And he contrasts this wise builder and this foolish builder. And this morning as we study this passage, I want you and I to observe some characteristics of the foolish builder. I want you and I to highlight some features about his building. If you will, this is a warning. If you will, this is a pattern that you and I do not want to follow. If you will, these are attributes about the foolish builder that we do not want to emulate. As we study these this morning, we want to assess our lives and say, God, help me not to respond to you and your word this way. What made the foolish builder's building displeasing to the Lord? Well, I see, first of all, this morning, his speed. The speed with which he built. Now, the Lord is clear in the text that we read that there was a wise man and a foolish man, and both of them built a home. The Bible says that the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, I don't know what kind of excavation tools they had specifically back then. I don't think they had the big earth movers and the John Deere tractors and all of those types of luxuries that we have today. I don't even know if they had something like this, but I'm sure they had something similar and had some digging instruments in which to use, and they had to get down to the rock was the Lord's direction and was the Lord's instruction. Now, in the Bible times, in building homes in that land, sometimes they would have to dig 30 feet to get down to sustainable rock to build a foundation for a home. Now, 30 feet, that's three stories. That's like the Revels building. That's a long way down into the ground. If you've ever dug a hole, you know it's work. And to dig a hole for a foundation of a home some 30 feet down would be a lot of work. And it would take a lot of time. But the foolish man, conversely, did not do that. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man took his sand lots and maybe cleared some ground and leveled it out and began to build his foundation and to begin to build his house. Now, the wise man who built his house upon the rock then was tasked to get down to the rock. And I don't know if he did this by himself. I don't know if he hired a crew. I'm not sure how it happened. But I know that he or a group of men got some digging instruments and got to work. And they began to remove the earth so they could get down to the rock. Now, live this with me for a minute. So here's this building site and here's this project. And they're to get down to the rock, as Jesus has instructed, to build this home. And so they're digging and they're removing earth and they're doing the work. And here's the foolish man, and he's decided that's not necessary. He's going to build his house upon the sand. And so he clears the lot, and he begins to set up his forms and such, and they're going to get their foundation poured. And so that's happening, and these folks are just getting started, and they're digging, and they're unearthing the soil, and they're trying to get down to the rock. He's got his foundation poured, and so now they're doing their framing, and they get their walls framed, and they get their trusses up, and they start getting the roofing on and the siding on, and it's beginning to take shape. And you look over here, and all you see now is just piles of dirt, and there's just dirt flying everywhere, and they're digging, and they're digging. And you come over here, and he's getting his sheetrock on the inside, and they're beginning to maybe do some painting on the outside, and now they're getting the painting on the inside, and they're getting their flooring in. And you come over here to this building site project, and you don't even see anybody. You just see a big hole in the middle of the site, and you just see air or dirt flying out because they're trying to dig down to the rock. By the time they get to the rock, this house is finished and the furniture is in, the grass is in, the white picket fence, and the owner's in the hammock drinking the lemonade. Project complete. First characteristic of the foolish builder was his speed. He did not take the time to build his house according to God's instructions. Speed is not always synonymous with success. In fact, sin always offers shortcuts to things that God says should be later. Satan is always saying there's something you could have now that maybe it's God's will that it wait. And sin is always offering a way to cut a corner, if you will, in your life and in mine. And they're usually appealing to our flesh. For sure, to this foolish man, it was going to be much easier to build his house upon the sand than to join in the efforts of the wise man and dig down to the rock. Maybe it's the desire for material gains and the temptation to gamble or to try to find a way to do something quick and get rich quick, or maybe even to rob God and not to tithe in order to benefit in your own financial gain. Maybe it's desiring physical relationships outside of marriage or before God's will. And Satan is always offering to people a shortcut when God is saying, wait. And in our story and the instructions given, the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And we see the speed with which he built, he took a shortcut. He did not follow the Lord's instruction in his own construction of his house. But I see not only his speed, secondly, I see his show. We note in this story, as we contrast the wise and the foolish builder, that everything the foolish man did was that which could be seen. Think about the wise man over here and the effort being exerted to dig and to develop the foundation, and so much time and so much energy and so much effort being invested into something you would never see. Conversely, though, the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, once leveling out the building pad, everything he did, you could see. All of his construction effort and energy was that which man could observe. And you know, much is the same way spiritually today. As we hear the Lord's instruction, as we hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, so many are just into outward conformity. At the end of the day, it's just a show. What's happening in their life, what's happening in their heart, is only for what men can see. And this is not new. This was other religious leaders in the day of Christ as well, when he said in Matthew 23:5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Jesus said, listen, there's people that are religious, but it's just for people to see. Their glory is found in what people think of them, but it's all a show. There's no depth to it. There's no root to it. There's no foundation to it. They're not following the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wise man recognized the value of working on that which could not be seen, because he was obeying the Lord. I think about those, maybe moments ago, who placed something in the offering plate and have faithfully given their tithe for years. And Satan certainly could come to them and say, look at you. You're giving, you're tithing, you're being obedient, and look at your financial state. Look at the situation that you're in. I mean, look at all of those homes and the beauty of them and the extravagancy of them. And look at what you could have if you would just keep that for yourself. I think about those yesterday who came out for the soul winning spectacular. Had breakfast and grabbed a map and some tracks and went out and invited people to church. And many in our church have done that for years. And I could see Satan coming to them and saying, what are you doing? I mean, you're out here and you're bothering people and you're talking to them about God and you're talking to them about the church. And honestly, what difference are you making anyway? I mean, look at all these people that go to church. They never go out soul winning. Look at all these people that are involved in religious activity. They're not talking to anybody about where they're going to spend an eternity. And Satan constantly is working on those who are trying to build on the rock to discontinue that effort and to build on the sand and just focus on that which people can see anyway. Don't worry about the other stuff. And as Jesus Christ concludes his Sermon on the Mount and he's challenging the listeners how they're going to respond, he says, listen, I want you to build on the rock, on me and on my word, but you have to decide. And the wise man built his house upon the rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and he built too fast and he built for show. What he did, he just did so that people could see. That was the sum total of his energy and effort on his construction project. It was shallow. But then I see, thirdly, of this foolish builder, his stupidity. You say, Brother Roel, that's kind of harsh. Well, look at how the Lord describes him in verse number 26. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The Lord Jesus Christ describes this man as foolish. Here, as he's contrasting these two, he says, this man who does not listen, who builds his house upon the man on the sand, this man is foolish. And we see his stupidity in his building. We first of all see it in his name. The Lord calls him a fool. The word translated from the Greek to give us that word is the same word we get in our English language, moron. And God said, this man who heard the teaching of Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, this man who received the specific instruction and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ and then decided to build his house on the sand, God said of this man, he is a fool. We live in a society and a culture today where we make big of people that question God. We make big of people that question the Word of God. We make big as a culture and society of people who are now enlightened and have evolved enough and who have a greater tolerance and understanding to know that that might be one view or one way of thinking, but there are so many other things in this day and age. And God says, mark my word, truth is still truth. God's word is still God's word, and it is right, and it is holy, and it is true, and it is good. And God says, anyone who hears the word of God and does not heed to the word of God is a fool. That's what God says. But not only is this man a fool as he is described in name, but this man is a fool because of his neglect. Now stop and think about who is receiving this instruction. These are not people who did not know the Lord. These are not people that maybe are new to this teaching. These are people who were there, who were hearing Jesus Christ in person teaching the truth of the Sermon on the Mount. These were the followers of Jesus Christ, and Jesus gives them these instructions, and one chooses to listen and obey, and one chooses not to. Now, this is not a new problem. In fact, it's very common. J.C. Ryle said, an old and common sin is profession without practice. In the Old Testament in Ezekiel, it talked about they who heard the words but did them not. And again in James, we're challenged that we're not just to be doers or hearers of the word only, but to be doers also. Paul reminded in Romans 12:3 that there's no justification unless we do. This man neglected to follow the instruction of the Lord. He knew what it was, but he willingly lived in neglect of it. You see, the wise man and the foolish man received the same instructions. The wise man and the foolish man received the same direction. The wise man and the foolish man received the same blueprints, if you will. But the foolish man decided, I can do this differently. I can do this better. I don't have to do it God's way. He knew what God's way was, but he lived in neglect of it. Sometimes we're guilty of that. We hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. We know what it is that we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. They were described this way in 2 Peter as being those who are willingly ignorant of. Sometimes we're in a place where we're hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and we turn it off. We're willingly ignorant of. We're not in tune, we're not receiving, we're not applying, we're not taking. We're just leaving it there. And that's what it was of this man who was the foolish builder. But God says, listen, as my word is invested into your life, you as a listener have a decision to make. Are you going to do something with it or are you not? Are you going to be the wise man who builds his house on the rock or the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand? I'm challenged as I think of that in the passage in Luke in chapter number 12, where God says, unto whom much is given, of him much is required. And of him who have committed much, of him will they ask the more. And I think about my own life and the privilege that I had to grow up in a Christian home, the privilege that I had to be in church all my growing up years, and how many sermons I've heard and how many lessons I've heard and how many church services that I've enjoyed. And so much has been invested in me, and no doubt about it, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, much will be expected because of how much has been invested. And today God is investing in you with the preaching and the teaching of His Word and in this church. And as it happens, every time that we meet, but much is expected from that. We have a decision to make. Will we build like the foolish builder and take shortcuts and give in to temptations and explore the advertisements that Satan offers? Will we just focus on that which can be seen and the show of the Christianity, and it's there, and we're here today, and we walk the walk and we talk the talk, and nobody may know, but we know nothing's inside? Do we hear the Word of God and then just turn and do nothing with it? That's what this foolish builder did. Well, finally, they got to rock. And I'm sure it was a day of celebration. I don't know about you, if we had to dig 30 feet to get to rock to get this house built, man, when we finally heard the clang of that instrument against that rock and we finally reached the foundation that we could build upon, it would be a happy day, no doubt about it. And finally they got to the rock, and now they could get their foundation built, and now they got their framing and their trusses, and now they got their house built, and finally they got their lawn and their white picket fence and their hammock and their sweet tea. And man, what a happy day. The wise man's house is complete. Now the neighbors walk by. This house is complete. This house is complete. They look the same. Outwardly, there's no difference. They both look like houses. They provide shelter, places for families to dwell. You can't see anything different about them from the outside. One of the main reasons that God says to that foolish builder, he's a fool, is because what you could not see about his house ended up being the reason of ruin. Because something happened one day, and it began to rain. The Bible says it began to rain, it began to flood, and the winds began to blow. And now all of a sudden the water was coming from the top, and the water was coming from beneath, and the water was coming from the sides as the wind was blowing it, and a great storm ensued, and it rained on the foolish man's house, and it rained on the wise man's house. But the Bible says that one house stood firm, and the other house fell, and great was the fall of it. This foolish man's building was concealed until the storm of life came. And then his structure ended up in shambles. There was nothing left of it. It was over. It was ruined. After the storm revealed, there was no foundation with which it was built. As you and I hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, as God invests in our life and we hear the truth, we have a decision to make. Will we be obedient? Will we respond to God? Will we build on the rock and the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we take an alternative or a shortcut and build on the sand? And dear person here this morning, you get to choose how you build your life. You get to choose how you respond to truth. You get to choose what you do with each and every teaching and preaching opportunity that you're in. But once you make that decision, you have no control over what happens to your house. Once the rain comes, it's too late to build a foundation. Once the rain begins to fall, it's too late to do anything about it. You get to choose how to build. You get to choose how to respond. You get to choose what you do. But once the rain comes, it's simply going to reveal how you built. It's simply going to reveal how you have responded to the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says the wise man's house stood firm, sustaining the storm. Oh, but the foolish man. Remember singing the song in Sunday school, the rains came down and the floods came up. We get to the end of the song, our favorite part, and the foolish man's house went splat. That's exactly what happened. The Bible says it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Luke's account, it says, and it immediately fell. You and I get to choose how we build. But once the storm comes, how we have built makes itself known. My son Joseph is here this morning. And Joseph, if you could come up here real quick, buddy. Joseph is 4. He is the caboose in our family. God expects me to respond as I hear truth in my life. When I hear the truth of the Lord, I have a decision to make. Will I respond in obedience? Will I respond in disobedience? Will I build my life like the wise men of the rock? Or will I build my life like the foolish men on the sand? But you know what I've learned? Now, when I make those decisions, it doesn't just affect me. You see, in my home, when the rain begins to fall, and the floods come, and the winds blow, I have people in my life who say, "Dad, are we okay? Is this going to hold? Are we safe? Is this a secure place to be? Do we need to run someplace else? Are we okay?" When I hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, when I have a decision to make as to what kind of listener I will be to the truth of the Word of God, there's people in my life who are counting on me to get it right. There's people in my life who are counting on me to dig down to the rock. There's people in my life who are counting on me not to quit, not to get tired, not to get weary, not to take Satan's advertisement for an easier way. There's people in my life who are counting on me to do the right thing. And how sad it is in America today, as the rain comes, the wind blows, and the floods rise, there's a lot of people counting on people with no foundation. And as that home is destroyed, lives are devastated. I don't know who it is that's counting on you today. It might be somebody counting on you in the future, whom you don't even know today, what they look like or what their name is. But I want to tell you something. The decisions you make affect more than just you. You're building a life. You're responding to the truth of God's word. Is it in wisdom or foolishness? Is it doing right or wrong? Thank you, buddy. In America today, you can go to many neighborhoods and it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. There's home destroyed, home destroyed, home destroyed. This shelter erected, this Red Cross station here. I mean, it just looks like an area of great tragedy. Oh, but in every neighborhood, you might have one, and there's one home that's okay. And oh, in this neighborhood, there's another home. And man, there's that home. It doesn't even look like it went through the same storm. Sir, tell me, how did your home survive this rain and this wind and this flooding? Well, I don't really know. I just go to church, and I hear the preaching of the Word of God, and I do business with God, and I tell God to the best of my ability, I'm going to obey and do what He wants me to do. And I've just been over here digging is all I've been doing. Not real fancy, not real complicated, but I made sure to get down to the rock, and I did my best to build my life obediently to the Lord. And whenever the storm comes, there's a peace in my heart. We're going to be okay. And in the midst of many devastated neighborhoods, there are homes still standing that have been built on the rock of Jesus Christ. This morning, I ask you three questions. Number one, if you came here this morning and said, "Brother Rule, I came in with a shovel. To the best of my ability, I've been trying to do things right. But I got to be honest with you. My plan was to leave it here. I'm tired. I don't see it working. I don't see progress. I don't see God's blessing. I don't know what is gaining me. To be honest with you, I'm this close to throwing down my shovel and letting it go." And my encouragement to you this morning is pick it back up. My encouragement to you this morning is keep digging. My encouragement to you this morning is keep getting to the rock. My encouragement to you this morning is keep obeying. My encouragement to you this morning is keep doing what God wants you to do. Your life will be a testimony. Your home will be a testimony. It will be honoring and pleasing to the Lord. When there's destroyed homes all over and this home makes it, man, how did it make it? It wasn't me. It was according to my Heavenly Father, the designer, the creator of the blueprints. It's His plan. I just obeyed Him. All honor and glory to Him. Amen. If you came here this morning ready to quit, we've got an amazing God. You know, it's interesting, the storm came to both houses. God doesn't promise that if you build your house upon the rock, no storms come. God doesn't promise that if you build your house upon the rock, it's every day in a hammock with sweet tea. It rained on both homes. Oh, but there was a peace inside the heart of the wise men, knowing we're going to be okay. This home will stand because it has been built according to the word of God. Second group. Those that would be honest and say, Brother Rule, it's been a long time since I had a shovel. I'm over here building on the sand and I know it. There's some things in my life that dishonor the Lord. I know they should not be there, but they're there. And my encouragement to you this morning is to cease construction. My encouragement to you this morning is red tape the project. My encouragement to you this morning is barricade this construction site and make it off limits. And you, before God this morning, say, God, I'm sorry. I know better. I know this is not the way to build. I know this is not the way to respond. Help me to cease construction on this sandlot project and help me to buy a shovel on the way home and help me to get home and start digging down to rock and build right. Amen. I don't know who it is this morning. Maybe all of us in some area. Lord, help us not to build on the sand. Then thirdly, this morning, I want to talk with those who may not know where they're going to spend an eternity. Just like the storm eventually came to the foolish man and to the wise man. And while the houses looked the same, the storm quickly revealed who built right and who built wrong. Someday, the Lord's coming back. And when the Lord's come back, it's going to quickly reveal those who will spend an eternity with Him and those who will spend an eternity without Him. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can know for sure that we're going to spend an eternity in heaven for all of eternity, and that is through Jesus Christ. It's having our faith and hope in Christ. It's knowing that in and of ourselves, we're not going to make it to heaven. We're not perfect. We've sinned. Our sin causes us to fall short of the glory of God, and it must be paid for. I don't know about you. I don't want to pay for my sin. I don't want to spend an eternity in a wicked place called hell away from God, but I don't have to because God doesn't want me to. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ, not having to, but choosing to, climb Calvary's hill and laid out on a cross and gave His life and said, it is finished. He didn't have one sin to pay for, but He died for mine and He died for yours. And if we will place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to pay for our sins, we can know for sure heaven is our home for all eternity. And we can begin building a life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So if you do not know Christ as your Savior this morning, my prayer is that you will receive Him and make that decision. If you've been building on a sand lot for whatever reason, my prayer for you this morning is that you immediately will cease construction because you recognize it's a fruitless effort. I know, sir, ma'am, it may look the same. I know it may appear to be the same at this moment, but the rain will come, and the revelation there is no foundation will quickly be known, and you and whoever is in it will suffer the consequences. So stop the sandlot project. Get a good old-fashioned shovel and say, God, help me to build on the rock and to be obedient to your word. If you came here this morning with one of these and said, Brother Rule, I want to do right. I really do. I believe God in His word. I really do. I'm just tired. I'm a little discouraged. I kind of was thinking about quitting. This morning, I just want to come alongside and encourage you. Don't stop. Keep digging. Keep getting to the rock. Keep doing the right thing. Consistently, faithfully, stay at it. Because when the rains come, you and whoever's in here are going to be glad you did. And when there's a lot of people hurting, they need some place to go. And your answer is not going to be your amazing construction skills. Your answer is going to be, I'm just glad I did it according to his design. I'm just glad I followed his blueprints for my life. May he get the honor and glory for the fact that this still stands, no matter what it faces. And that's what God wants for us. But we have to hear and then do. We have to build, like the wise man, according to the word of God.